Hey, Pastor James.
Hey, Captain Don.
Good to see you here again.
Yeah, you know, I don't think we could say this any better than those testimonies and songs,
absolutely,
could we?
Those are great.
You know, we were talking earlier, and I think we agreed this is our fourth year doing this together.
Right.
So we got about 36 more to get to our extremity. So
that may be past me.
Maybe me too. You know, I was reading a poll the other day. Those are usually accurate. But I was reading a poll the other day for our area, and it said I was asking a question about different aspects of the way people were spending their Thanksgiving. And in one way or the other, 95% of the people that answered said they had changed their plans in some way. Something that had, with everything going on this year, that they had altered their plans. So that was 5% left that were going to press on and do what they had always done. As I thought about it, I could almost understand if you didn't have your hope fixed on a faithful God, how you could be so swayed this year. But that's not us.
That's not us.
I thought I would start off with Deuteronomy 7:9. It says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments." Kind of makes me think of Romans 8:28 a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those who love God and called according to his purpose. Yeah. He works all things out.
For good for them.
For good.
Right.
That word faithful, it actually has a really long definition, a bunch of different aspects of it. But it'll touch on one who supports, one who nourishes, the one who is reliable, the one who is trustworthy. And there was one aspect I thought was really neat. One who takes on the role of a father. It actually referenced that, taking one in and being a father. And I thought, what better description of our God than his heart for us? You know, this year in particular, Captain Don and I were sitting down talking the other day about these different things that have gone on. And as we mentioned back at the beginning of the month, we were going to talk tonight about giving thanks for the faithfulness of our God that you've seen this year. How you've seen him to be faithful in your life. And there was one thing that we talked about a lot is man has tried to redirect and redefine faithfulness to kind of cover their own sins, their own fears. Would you agree?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the things I thought I'd touch on for a minute is man, though, I will give him credit, is good with coming up with catchphrases. There's been a lot of catchphrases, if you've watched, that have circulated their way around. One of the ones is the new normal. We kind of heard that one a lot,
yep.
Right? The new normal. I don't know if we were all normal to begin with, but there's a new normal, apparently, that's circulated. But when I think of Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So I don't see anything new. I see he's faithfully been the same all along. And
absolutely.
So why do we need a new normal? We have the perfect one.
Right.
Another one, and this one I was telling you the other day, this one just, it was almost a pet peeve to me throughout the year. I'm going to admit that one. Uncertain times. We're living in uncertain times. Over and over and over again, uncertain times I saw everywhere. But, you know, there's been two verses at the end of Romans 8 that have always meant a lot to me. And it's, Paul says, "I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, things present, things to come, powers, or height, or depth, or any other created thing can separate us from the love of God, who is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Is there anything uncertain about that? I don't hear any uncertainty.
I don't think he left anything out either.
I don't think so. He gets to the end, he goes, "just in case, any other created thing." He just hits on that point. And to me, you hear it in Paul's voice as he says, "I'm convinced." And I believe this has been a year in which this body, this family, has been able to say, "I'm convinced of these things. I hear all the noise, but I'm convinced." There's no doubt.
No doubt.
In who he is. The other one, and this one was very popular on the billboard signs as you go down the highway. Safer at home. Safer at home. man was defining safety. But as I think in particular with Psalm 46:1, God's our refuge. God's our protector. In Psalm 91, now you didn't bring your guitar,
no,
so you're not going to break into song.
I'm not going to sing this one.
Okay. Although reading it kind of sounds like singing it.
Yeah, when I read it, it just brings into my mind, I should feel like I should start singing it. But I'm not going to do that. But Psalms 91, you know, we've had in the place where we live, people know that we go to church every Sunday. And so some of them, because of fear, they stay away from us because they know we're coming to church. And those people could get COVID, you know. So, and some of these people are professing believers, and they are staying completely in, don't come out at all, have everything delivered, and I mean, they're living in fear.
You had ones that were closing gatherings in prayer and opening it up in prayer, were talking about the things of the Lord, and yet,
right. And now they're inside. Yeah. But Psalm 91 is such a great psalm for the situation that's been going on. He that dwelleth in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say unto the Lord, my refuge and my strength. And refuge is sheltered from danger or troubles. And the fortress is it's something that's not able to be influenced by. The God in whom I trust. Who else are you going to trust in? For it is he who dwelleth or delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. Pestilence? Okay, well, if you're a believer and you're reading this, it's like Greg said a while ago, you have to either come to the realization that you actually do believe in God, or you're going to have to believe in yourself. And I think that's one thing that's happened through this whole COVID. Everybody had to come to that question, do I believe in God or not?
We were just sitting there yesterday just praising the Lord together for all of these things that we've been seeing.
Yeah, because this COVID has brought out so many opportunities to tell other people about, well, the faith that's within us, the gospel and the message. And even the way that people see what we do, because, you know, James says faith without works. Well, you're showing your works when you're showing your faith. Pastor Gary went over something that I've read many times, and I never realized it this way, but in John 14 said, let not your heart be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are already many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. And that preparing the place is him going to the cross. And I never got that connection before, but that's just an amazing thing that he prepared that place by going to the cross for us. So do we believe in him or not?
It just takes our whole focus to who he is and what he's done, which is what we're sharing about tonight.
Right.
His faithfulness. And as we were starting off in that passage in Deuteronomy, throughout the generations, he doesn't change. The gauge of his faithfulness does not falter or fade over the years.
Right.
And we were kind of thinking through some different things that this year, you know, we were joking every one of these years that we've been together up here, we kind of make the statement, this is the most things that we could think of to be thankful for this year. And yet God just seems to surpass it every year. And if you were to go out and ask the 95% or more, probably, there would be very little to be thankful for, because the thankfulness, as Pastor Gary was just talking about the other day, who are we thankful to? And so the testimonies that I've had the privilege to get to hear, and Captain Don as well, throughout this year, there's been testimonies that you may have seen God's faithfulness and his protection. It may have been physical. It may have been in your heart, though, as you've seen how he's guarded your heart against these things that would try and creep in our flesh. You may have seen it in his provision. You begin to look, and I know there's been different ones that have looked and said, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how this is going to add up, but I know God's going to provide exactly what is needed, and he's doing this for my good. You may have seen it as well through losing hours, losing business, losing health at different points. But what we would begin to view as most important in the flesh, as Paul would say, I'll count those things as loss, as rubbish, in comparison to knowing Christ. So I know there's been testimonies in this body of seeing his faithfulness through that. And Mr. Don, you had mentioned you had testimony of ones that you've been able to share with in the workplace as well.
Yeah, there's one woman that was completely scared to death. I mean, when the first thing came up, they're shutting the place down. She said, well, what are we going to do? We're going to have to get everybody to wear a mask. And I said, well, we'll just get everybody a mask and put it on their desk. And nobody wore it. And she'd see the news every night, and she was just petrified. She'd come in, she said, oh, my stomach hurts. I said, read Psalms 91. And then I said, you need to stop listening to the news and just have faith and trust in God. And little by little, she started doing that. And then every now and then she'd say, I watched the news last night. I said, stop doing that. And she has a daughter that lives in California. And she was going to fly over there. And we just saw on the news, if you watch the news, that California's all shut down again. And her, but her daughter just flew over. She says, it's not like that at all. She said, you can still come over. She actually flew out yesterday to go to California. And she's not afraid of flying. Imagine that. So she's going over there to spend this weekend and come back on Sunday. And I've seen that it's not me that's doing that. It's her beginning to trust in the Lord and know that this news stuff is just out there to make everybody scared to death.
You know, and that's another aspect of how I've seen his faithfulness in this body this year is the refining that he brings. That there are things that he has begun to bring to light in our own walks with him and in our hearts that we would go, God, I didn't even know that was in there. I didn't even know that I was wrestling with that in that way. But he knows what is needed to begin to churn those things up. I remember early on in this year, I was allowing myself in certain things to get frustrated with the way things were changing and with seeing the fear that was beginning to creep up. And I remember I was going to try and do the brakes in my van, and I had bought all the parts. I was saying, I'm going to knock this thing out in the driveway. Everything was rusted shut. I could not. I broke my tool trying to get that thing off. I had to go return the parts. I said, Lord, I don't know what you're doing right now, but you've taken this out of my strength and my hands. And I go to a place to get it, to get the brakes done. And I walk in, and there was a lady in there, and I could tell she was heavy. And I began to ask her, what's going on? I can tell something's wrong. And she was a single mother. Her hours had been cut in half because of everything that had gone on with the shutdowns at that time. She was wrestling through with her children, and the Lord had opened a door for me to begin to share the gospel with her. And she just began to start crying. And through that time where I had viewed everything would have been bad in my flesh, whether it be everything that was going on in the world around us, whether it be my own personal circumstances, I saw God's faithfulness to open that door. And not only was he opening that door, he was refining me at the same time. He went for a twofer. That was the Publix BOGO right there. But only God can do that. And the other thing that I was thinking through is his faithfulness in uniting this body. I can't think of a time than going through this year where I've seen this body that much closer and tight-knit together, unified in that one spirit that Scripture tells us we're to be. And so there's so many things for us to be thankful for his faithfulness. Wouldn't you agree, Captain Don?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every day.
If I could get us to turn to a verse, if you could turn with me to Psalm 40. While you're turning there, If you've ever encountered this, Pastor Gary has taught me this both through me experiencing it with him and also him counseling me in this way, that there's times in which you have to just give somebody a verse and let them read it. And there's great benefit and power in that. So we're going to read this verse together, and you can maybe figure out what I'm doing. If you look at me in Psalm 40, verse 10. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. So this is an opportunity for you all to begin to share of the faithfulness. I didn't say it. Scripture's telling us.
That's right.
I have to proclaim these things. Has he not been faithful? He has. So we don't want to be the ones talking all night. I know that there are countless testimonies in this family this year that we have seen that faithfulness of our loving God. So we're going to have the young men with the microphones kind of team up on the two sides. And I'm going to ask who wants to break the ice. Mr. Doug.
Thank you, Johnny. So thank you, James and Don, for opening the mic. It's been a really interesting year for me and for my family. Probably the worst year that we've had yet. If most people were looking at it, they'd say it's pretty terrible. But in all of it, I've seen a certain peace and persistence in the Lord's love for us. Whether it's in a time of loss or watching family members that are kind of weeping or gnashing, you know, about life and some of their complexities. And it's really been just super, super encouraging to see the Lord's provision for us in advance and in despite our you know, challenges. And so without being specific, I just really want to thank the body of believers here because I'm thankful that you guys are here to minister to us, minister to our family, and to build us up and to allow us to contribute. It really has been a blessing, and I've seen the Lord work in so many different ways in so many different settings this year, whether it's here or, you know, abroad and different things that I've been pulled away and involved in. Just seeing his hand in this world, in this year, it's just been extremely reassuring to me. And I love him for that and many other things.
He is faithful.
Indeed.
Who's next? We did read Psalm 40. I was anticipating that at some point. Yes, sir.
You know, one of the things that the Lord has been bringing back to my mind several times, and especially as of late, as this whole insanity that we're dealing with in our country has been draining on and on and on and on. And that is this body. You know, if you'd asked me 32 years ago when we started here, or if you had told me that I was going to be as grateful as I am to have been put in this church. Now, I knew this was where I was supposed to be because it was as clear as day. God said, this is home, all the way back then. And I'm thankful for that. But this body has been a rock. The Word of God has been a solid foundation. And the leadership in this body has been an encouragement beyond comprehension. I look at Christians around me at work, Christians in other places that I see a lot of different people in my work. And the fear is rampant, off the chart. And I tell them, oh no, we're just doing like we always do. And they look at you like you got three heads, you know. They can't comprehend that. But I'm so thankful that we are like that. And one of the things the Lord has shown me within the last couple of weeks, I've been getting kind of tired. I've been working a lot. We've been very busy. And I'm grateful for having a job. And those who have not been able to work or who have lost work, my heart breaks for them because that's not a good place to be. I've been there. But you get tired, and then I realize, you know, the only reason I can survive any of this is because of this body. I can come here and be normal, as we've always been.
Not a new normal.
It's not a new normal here. This is the real. This is actually, that's what I want to call it. This is the real. This is what we're supposed to have. This is where God has designed the family to be, what the family is. What an amazing gift God has given us. And also to be in these times, times where we're actually being tested and tried. Do you really believe what you say you believe? How much do you believe it? And by the mercy and grace of God, I'm standing with Him in the truth. I can't even comprehend how amazing that is, especially when I see so many falling all around us. People that I thought were strong Christians that won't even go to the church because they're scared, or whatever they're doing these days. You know, it's a beautiful thing to be a part of this amazing thing that God has done here at this church.
You know, that Psalm 40, that verse 10 that we were just reading, that word faithfulness, that first definition for it was firmness.
Mm-hmm.
It gave a picture of a firm ground.
Amen.
How faithful is He just to, you can get that picture of the waves not tossing and turning you around.
Amen.
Pastor Josh, oh, I saw a hand. I didn't see it at first. There you go. Yes, ma'am.
When things like this happen, it does give you more of an opportunity to speak out about the Lord, because people want, they really want to hear it. And telling friends, lots of my friends, that I'm going to church and we don't wear a mask and we're just trusting in God, it's been a blessing for me to be able to do that. And even with family, yeah, we're going to church. And you know, and that's the one thing, it's like, why would we want to take that away from us? Why would we want to, this is the most important thing we have. And this church body is amazing, and we like it, we love it, but it's so nice to be able to come here and not have to wear a mask and can't touch you and, you know, or whatever. It's just like, yeah, it's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be love. We're supposed to love each other and hug each other and be there for each other. So, I've been happy this year. I mean, I miss seeing some family, but that's their decision and whatever. And I learned just to stop and be thankful for the things that, like, we're not traveling, going anywhere. Just loving the things that I have right in my own home with my husband, my yard, my flowers, whatever. So that's how I feel about it.
That's good. Mr.
Oh,
George.
Wow. Well, the Oak Riders are on a roll.
For me, it's been I won't just hit on COVID, I'll just say it's been a year. A year ago at this time, I didn't know if I was going to be here for another week or two or whatever. And God in His divine providence said, no, not yet. You've got a few things ahead of you. And I said, well, okay, whatever is. And that was a tremendous experience for a couple reasons. One, I recognized the love that came from this church body. The people who came to see me were people from this church body. The people who cared about me, other than certainly Carol, my goodness, the church body. I also recognize that, well, I may or may not live, and I figured that's up to God, and whatever is, is. And I recognize that if it was to be, so be it. I would go and join God. Started to seem like a pretty sweet deal, but in any event, we moved on. Along comes COVID, and it was another growth experience for me, recognizing once again that, you know, no, it's not up to me, it's up to God. So I was able to grow in that, and I was able to find just thankfulness and trust in God. And I would turn to Matthew 7:25-34. I just opened it up. I mean, I've been fortunate enough that I've been able to spend some time with Greg and just being able to do some Bible study, and we've been living in Matthew, it seems like, forever, which is a nice place to be. And, you know, 7-34 just really just tells it all. Trust in God, God provides. So it's, there are a lot of outside influences, but at the end of the day, the Lord is the one that I've learned to turn to.
We've been very thankful and encouraged with you both,
Amen.
Seeing the Lord's faithfulness in both of your lives. Pastor Joshua. Did he? We'll come to him next.
Are you going to skip Talon? Okay. For us, there's been quite a few things that's all kind of amalgamated together. We started out this year, and we knew that we wanted to try to better accommodate the boys in McKenzie with where we were. And so we started out on that journey, and I think our prayer was we didn't want it to my first prayer was, Lord, help me to balance all of this. And then my other prayer was, is I was really scared because it was doing a lot of things that I was not very confident in. And I remember praying and saying, God, you're going to have to accomplish this because there's certain things that I don't know. And I remember walking through different things and different guys saying, hey, you want us to come help you? And I said, I don't want you just standing around because I don't really know what I'm doing. And the Lord has been faithful in allowing us to pretty much finish that. And our hope was to finish it by the end of this year and to move on past it. In the midst of that, you know, adding the room for the boys to make space for McKenzie. In the midst of all of this, one of the things Michelle and I were, I think it was just the other day, we were going through the store and we're hearing the hymns that she's singing now. We've come a long way. And we've watched God change her heart. And it was earlier this year when she received the Lord. And I got the privilege of being there to pray with her. And her teacher was talking about receiving the Lord in her Bible class. And she received the Lord. And we watched the Lord change this little girl. In the midst of that, I've watched the Lord knit our boy's heart with her. And I've watched tremendous growth in all three of my sons, and watching Daniel read a book at night to her and watching that growth, and Donald and Jonathan caring for her and that protector's heart with both of them. So the Lord has just really knit McKenzie into the family, and we're very thankful for that. As we started going, preparing the room and space for her, little did we know that Michelle was going to have two children this year. And through the loss of Elijah and the Lord taking him home, the Lord really began to reveal different things in our own lives. He began to draw us closer together. The Lord began to draw us closer to the body, closer to Him. Then we lay Him to rest, and then little did we expect that Michelle, God would give us another one. and a little girl to boot on top of that to go with McKenzie. And so as we begin to prepare these rooms, little did I know, we'd be preparing a room for another little girl. And so we're just really thankful for everything the Lord has done. The way he has, he answered my prayer at the beginning was to, Lord, I don't want to lose track of what's most important, and that's him. And the Lord has really just strengthened us through this time. There was different times where I was wondering, are we ever even going to get this done? But God was faithful. At different times where we were done. But the Lord would strengthen us, and we would keep going. And the Lord has really been faithful to us this year in allowing us to finish that, bringing this new little one, watching the growth of McKenzie and the children, and seeing the growth in the body has really just ministered to us, and we're really thankful to the Lord for that. So many things. The other night I shared with you, men, the Lord has just filled our hearts. And we're just so thankful for what he's done, what he's doing in the body. And we just can't be more thankful to him.
You are good.
Sorry, Talon. I have to share this verse. And I think I've shared it before. But it's Lamentations 3:32-33. It says, "For if he causes grief, then he will have compassion according to his abundant loving kindness. For he does not afflict willingly or grieve the sons of men to crush under his feet." So as we were going through Lamentations, that was, you know, one of the verses that really stuck out to me, not only with Elijah, but before Elijah, there were a lot of changes in our household, and you know the Lord, you know, has a very good way of revealing, you know, difficulties that we have, whether we recognize them or not. And so, I wanted to share that verse, but I can't help but to share Romans 8:28. He causes all things to work together for good to those who are called according to his purpose. And, you know, I see that now. I knew that God, you know, he doesn't do anything without there being a reason for it. And I bank on that. I count on that character of God, that, you know, we're not just aimlessly bumping into happenstance, but there's actually a purpose in it. And as the year has progressed, I really have seen the good that God has brought through all of the different changes that he's brought into our life. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, that he is who he is, and that we can count on him to always be that way. You know, no matter, you know, what new normal comes about. Sorry, Pastor James. But, you know, there's this ever-changing world around us, and they don't know where they're going, but we have confidence because our God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I'm just so thankful for that.
Can I add this one thing, too?
Sorry, Talon.
We would have contractors come to the house and thinking, okay, we're going to have to do this. And they would literally have these salesmen telling us, you don't need to do that. What are you doing? Don't do that. And me and Michelle are going, they're not wanting to take our money. And this was God. And I remember every time we'd say, honey, he's protecting us. Because I don't know. And he would have these men that were salesmen literally not take our money. Was just the kindness of God and his protection. So it's real encouragement to know that he controls King's heart like channels of water in his hand. Turns it wherever he wishes.
In him is fullness of joy.
Amen.
Mr. Talon.
I'm just thankful the Lord's given you guys so much to share with us. we've had a busy last year. And I look back this time last year, we thought we'd lost Lane. And now he reminds us every day that he is definitely not gone. so, you know, I just reflect back on all the things that have happened. And I go I have a couple verses I kind of bounce back and forth just daily reminding myself about. And one of them is Jeremiah 29:11-13. And it's, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope, that when you call on me and come and pray to me, I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." And it just makes me think, like, how so much you focus on your own problems and miss opportunities to help other people. And, I mean, in this verse, God's saying, listen, I know the plans I have for you, so don't worry about them. I got you. Seek me. It's time to focus on other people. And I deal with a lot of people every day at the bank, and a lot of problems that it's easy to look at and just say, you know, why are you even worried about this? This is not a thing. But to them, it's the biggest thing that's happening in their life right now. And so I guess the other verse that I go to is 2 Timothy 1:7-8. "For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." It's like, how often does someone come in and talk to me and think that they need help with something, and I know what they really need help with, but I don't share it with them? And, you know, it's that spirit of, we don't have a spirit of timidity. We're supposed to be bold and powerful, and God takes away our worries so that we can be like that. So if you're focusing on your own problems all the time, you can't be helping those people that really need it. So I just, over the last year, even through all the things that we've gone through, it's like, you know what? Just focus on the people that God brings into your life. That's it.
Mr. Chadwick.
You need to forgive me. I'm not as fluent in scripture. I can't really.
Just share your heart, brother.
what a month it's been. Over 5 years, the Lord brought me and my wife here. We're our children. We found true love, acceptance, you know, forgiveness. And I can admit that I'm not in control. And over the 5 years we've been here, I didn't know how to wait on the Lord. I would proclaim it, I would say it, but I was a hypocrite. I didn't know. I didn't know what it was like until we've been put in a situation. And it's not a situation, it's a blessing. Because I will admit as well that I have struggled forever of beating myself into the ground. And I don't mean just, oh, pushing me down. I've pulverizing myself into the ground 6 feet under, because that's all I've known. You know, like Pastor Josh said, we never really had fathers. We never really had that figure of love until Christ found us. So I would go off performance, and I know I mentioned that a lot, but my performance doesn't come close to the grace of God. And I'm in a situation now where my pride flares up, my own strength flares up, and everything that God wants me to have, I choose not to have it because my flesh is surrounding me and holding me down to the ground. And I'm thankful that the Lord gave me a brother and a sister and a family, but more so a wife who sees me go through this, and she stays quiet and she focuses on the Lord more. And I see her do this, but I don't say anything because I want to be gung-ho, you know, look-at-me-go performance-based husband and father. So I just want to give praise to the Lord, because for the first time in my life, I'm not in control. And I'm thankful. And I'm humbled. If I'm not seeking Him I'm wasting my time. If I'm not putting him first, then what am I doing? It's easy to go out in the world and proclaim Christ, especially now you see falseness everywhere. We believe, buy this, buy this. You even see commercials and hear commercials of people tagging Christ onto what they want you to do and then benefit from it. That was me. So, I come before my family, humbled, and completely weak in my own ability. But I'm thankful that he's bringing us through this, because these are things I would have never learned on my own. And I'm thankful that he thinks of me. I'm thankful that he chose me and to use me. And a lot of times we want to pray to be used, but it's never in the way that we choose to be used. And when these things happen, we're like, what did I do to deserve this? And God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. It's not him that changed. It's my heart, in which he also freely gave me. So if me going through this means I can be eternally happy, then by all means, turn up the fire, because the old me is a life I don't want. It's just death, and it's poison, and it's false. So that's, I just want to give the Lord praise, because he's faithful and he is who he says he is.
Amen.
And I'm hearing these testimonies. I'm excited to feel and go through what everyone else has gone through, because I can't look at somebody else and go, why can't I be as faithful as them? Or why can't I do the things that they do? Because I'm not them. That's, the Lord made me how he made me. And I'm encouraged that I get to hear his work in this family. The family in which we're all united in his spirit, and he knit us all together. And it's not hard when you're focused on Christ to realize that you've been doing it all wrong. And I've never really admitted that, because a lost soul based on performance, it is very prideful. And the best thing that I can do for myself, for my family, for my brothers and sisters, is to put him first, and not just say it, but actually do it. And I shouldn't have to put on a face that everyone sees me do this. That's not what it's about. It's about me and him, and he will make my path straight.
Amen.
So I just wanted to share that with all of you. I'm very thankful that I have all of you.
You know,
we're thankful we have.
When someone's working with metal, they begin to get the impurities out. The way they begin to know they get to the end is they can see a reflection in that metal. And that's what God's doing with us through that fire, to get us to the point where we begin to reflect to be more like him. So be encouraged, brother, that he's not leaving you where you're at.
Absolutely.
Yes,
with all that being said, the two verses that I'd like to share that I'm really thankful for this year. This one we're all super familiar with, but it's James 1:2. Consider it all joy, mm-hmm. my brethren, when you encounter very and then my favorite one. Psalm 73, verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? beside you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I'm just thankful for his faithfulness.
Yes.
Who else would like to share? Mr. John, are you reaching for the mic?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, this is an awesome family affair. I just want to thank the Lord for many things. Most of all, for 5 years ago, that I had a gracious young man that called his father-in-law and said that he wanted to invite him into his family and his daughter's, his wife's life again. And I was invited to an awesome church, and I know how much this place has ministered to both of them and myself. But I know that God puts us in the place of the most. Psalms 51 is one of my favorite psalms, because many years ago when I went overseas to war, that's all I stood on. I didn't have to worry about nothing else. I knew God had my back. I knew I was protected. And then when I came back and my daughter asked me if I wanted to go to church with her, when I came down to visit, I knew the Lord had answered that prayer too. And I know that the Lord has filled me with a lot of hope. And there's sometimes I don't always understand everything that's going on with Chad, but I love this young man because God's blessed him with the love that he has for his family, and his heart is where God is working with him as well as me. And I just praise him for allowing us to do this, you know. And I love what I'm learning and seeing with him. And this church has really been a blessing to all of us, and I thank you for that. But most of all, I thank the Lord for opening the doors to walk into a situation like this in my life, because it's been amazing. And I just want to thank you all.
Thank you, Mr. John. Who else? So, we'll go to Miss Lauren back there, and then we'll come. There was I think it was like a split second your hand got up there first.
Older, do I go first?
No, ma'am.
I'm beginning to have a conflict over that, I think.
No favoritism.
No. I think I could go on and on. It kind of goes back to the New Year's from last year and what I wrote on my card that we opened at Easter, and getting my bookmark at Christmas from Miss Savannah. You know, there are just so many things going through Psalms and then many adventures. But the one verse that sticks out to me, someone shared with me years ago. I've probably shared it here before, but I think just listening to, you know, all my family members here talking, it's Isaiah 43:18-19. And it says, "Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And so for many, I think we're in a wilderness or in the desert. And, you know, it's 2020 is kind of COVID, many people are in a wilderness or a desert, or they feel like they are. But God's doing good stuff in the wilderness, in the desert. You know, and at home in our house, we've been studying Deuteronomy, and it's like, you know, years and years and years and, you know, repeat wandering, and God's saying, "I've got it. Trust me." Even amidst, you know, what you think is terrible and miserable and you're, you know, down on your luck, it's like, "I've got this, just trust me." And so that's been encouraging to me, along with, you know, every time I'm here and, you know, just communicating with, you know, with the Lord in my study time, my one-on-one time with Miss Connie, or conversations that I have with you guys. It's just, it's encouraging. And to hear the praise that comes out of hard times, You know, only the Lord can do that, because the world Amen. Takes hard times and just makes them worse and worse and worse. So, thank you.
Miss Trinity.
I have really been enjoying the Bible studies on Wednesdays and Psalms, and the message that the books that Asaph has written, how the congregation is to bring praise to God, and how when we come together, it's like getting out of the world and just coming back to what really is important. So one of the verses that I really liked is the last verse in chapter 73. It says, "But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works." And it really takes some time to get back to that sometimes, because of all the things that you can see or get caught up in, or want to think through or trust in yourself or man. And when you get back to that, you're like, well, God sees everything that's going on, like, even if I don't. So he takes care of it. And it's like, all you have to do is just step back and submit to him and watch him put everything into place. And sometimes you do have to act in on through his spirit, and it's all good.
Okay. You sounded like Captain Don for a second. It's all good. Miss Brenda. Yes, ma'am.
I don't even have to open my mouth to let everybody know that the things that have been going through my path this year. It's been different. Experienced a lot of things that I'd never actually been through before in my life. Seeing God's faithfulness.
You got it?
Seeing God's faithfulness in just his provision for me, let alone the word really coming more to life. let me share Lamentations 3. I really love the verses 19 through the end of the chapter, really. 22 and 23 speak to me almost every day. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness.
Thank you, Miss Brenda. Anyone else? Miss Jackie.
One of my favorite verses is, which I actually, just during a time in my life, you know, when back with Savina and her father's passing, and I just was struck by John 14:27. I mean, the chapter begins with it, but I think it's so apropos for the year, because he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." And so many things that have happened during this year in my life have brought about a lot of change, but I'm so struck by the faithfulness of the Lord and the realization that no matter, I have found in this church body that no matter what is happening, that I can have encouragement and support and growth in Scripture, because I'm always led back to Scripture and I always see the faithfulness of the Lord, so that things don't have to be fearful and things don't have to be in my control. Things don't have to be this way, and I'm so grateful to know how much the Lord loves me and loves this body. And I couldn't ask for better.
Is there anyone else? If we could turn to Acts chapter 2. You know, one of the reasons I believe that times like this in which we have an opportunity to come together, why I think it begins to fade so quickly out amongst the world, is because what is uniting and tying together, what that time of coming together around, is based on those things that just burn up, those things that do not endure. In Acts chapter 2, as it comes to the end, it says in verse 44, "And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common." If you drop on down to verse 46, it says, "Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together." What I find interesting is it doesn't seem to even specify what the meals were. So our fellowship isn't about the food. Our fellowship isn't centered around those things. But what it says is they had gladness and sincerity of heart. The fellowship was around who God was. Who he is in their life. It was his Spirit that unites this body. I say that because after our time of communion, we have this time together of fellowship next door. And I was hearing it, I was so encouraged to see all the little cards that everyone was filling out. And I got a sneak peek on some of the verses. So there's some good ones in there, for sure. There's no bad ones. That's the wonderful thing about God's Word. So let me specify that. But what I mean by there's some good ones is I can hear the testimonies in them and knowing who is writing them out. And so as you're going and taking part in that time, whether you're going to take a certain dish or not, I'd encourage you to read that card anyway. Because those are verses that have ministered to this body as a family. And this is our time of having all things in common as those who believe that we're coming together and proclaiming his goodness. Captain Don,
Pastor Gary,
it's been great spending another year with you up here. If we could turn our attention to Pastor Gary for the time of communion.
And Captain Don, I'm going to have you adjust the air so the women don't freeze to death. You know, I was sitting there thinking, I don't recognize some of you anymore. That's a good thing. I remember, Chad, when you guys first came to church, I remember talking to you, Sapphire. And so I was talking with Sapphire, I'm going, okay, this girl's clueless. She doesn't even know what this is about. And you've received the Lord, and I can tell your heart is with him. Amen. We're not the same, are we? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And God is changing us into his image. not always an easy process. I know I was pretty stubborn. But, wow, the difference. The difference. Might I add, I like you a lot better as time are going. I'm sure you're hoping I'll change a little bit, too. That's what we celebrate, the power of God to change our hearts. And only He can do that. It's really not something that you can fake. We don't gather together, try to put on a show. Our hope is that you come face to face with God and fall in love with Him. And He'll change you. And what a wonderful work He does. I don't recognize you anymore, Trinity. But that's a good thing. Remember when things started changing? The Lord just grabbed your heart. Wow. That's what I'm thankful for. And that's why we come together, isn't it? To see those hearts change. And I can't think of anything to celebrate more than that. More than that. So we come tonight together for this communion. And we celebrate what Christ did on the cross, which has changed us. It's changed us. Bow your heads. I'm going to ask the men to pass out the bread and the cup. And if you would, just with me as the men are passing these things out, just give Him thanks for changing hearts. Perhaps certain ones are even coming to your mind. Even hearing some of these testimonies, it's just, God has certainly encouraged me. Perhaps there are some that you're concerned about that have not yet changed, but you've heard the testimonies. God's doing a work. You can trust Him. We love that wonderful phrase in Philippians, "He who began a good work in you will finish that task." God is a finisher. And on that cross, He said, "It's done. It's finished." Man, I'm so grateful for Him. Scripture tells us in this is love, not that we loved Him, but that He loved us. And He gave Himself for us. If He spared not His own Son, how would He not with Him freely give us all things? And my goodness, I never would have guessed the blessings that He's given me. For I would have to say the greatest blessings that He has given me is you. Your heart's changing. You're coming to Christ. You're following Him. You're expressing your love for Him. There's just nothing to compare with that. Man, I have a lot to be thankful for. God has truly blessed me and allowed me to see some wonderful things. Take this time to give thanks. Oftentimes this meal is called the Eucharist. It's just a Greek word which refers to God's goodness and our thanks for that. So give thanks. You pray as the men continue to pass out. That which reminds us of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. Give thanks.